first I want to start with, we all have conversations, right? We talk about things, we talk about something, maybe we talk about someone. And what about speaking the word? You know, what about having that in our conversations? So before we can know God's word, I mean, before we can speak the word, we have to know God's word. So let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'm a little, you know, anxious and a little nervous, so just please bear with me. This is growth for me, and I'm really thankful to be here, and I'm really excited. So excited, I'm like, I have to release this, you know, what God has shared with me. So I'm really blessed and excited. Okay, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, in verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The first time I heard these words was over 30 years ago. I did not know there was one true God. I did not know there was a God of this world. I did not know the word because I had never been taught the word. These words that Jesus Christ spoke are words of God because this is God's word, okay? He always did the Father's will, right? He always did what God told him to do. And these are the words he's speaking. It's God's word. Now, before we can speak the word, there's a process that we must know, and we're going to learn that from the word, and it is to know the word, to hide it in our hearts, and to release that word. Okay? So, let's turn to 2 Peter You're getting there before I do. I'm always like, okay, Peter, where are you?
Over here.
All right. Sometimes I'm like all thumbs, but that's okay. God loves me. Okay, we're going to 2 Peter in chapter 1 and in verse 20, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." God wants us to know this first. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So if we're going to speak the word, it cannot be of any private interpretation. Private interpretation would be like me saying, well, I think this verse means this, or I think it means that, okay? If we do that, then we're not speaking the word, because no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We would then be speaking our opinions, or our own ideas, or facts. Now, where do those come from? Okay? Actually, I looked it up, and the word fact is not in the word. All right? Opinion is, there's a couple of verses, but it was like man's opinion. Okay? So, if we're speaking the word and we're kind of putting our own spin on it, then we don't have the word. Okay? Now, let's go to verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. If God's word came by the will of man, it would have imperfections. it would have defects and flaws, okay? But God is perfect, therefore his word has to be perfect. And that spirit that we have within us, God's creation in us, is perfect, okay? Now, it also had to be holy men of God that could get revelation from God to know what to write. This is how we got the written word of God, okay? God's word is also written in the stars. And I don't know if you know the record about the Magi. They're like known as the three wise men. And they were wise men because they followed the stars. They knew when the birth of Jesus Christ was by the stars. I don't know how to read God's word from the stars, but thank God we have his word like as we have it. This is the written word of God. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God's only begotten Son, was the word in the flesh. Why? Because he always did the Father's will, okay? He was also the living word. He lived God's word. He talked God's word. He spoke God's word. And he is an example for us because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? We have Christ in us. And as we start putting the word on in our minds and in our hearts and speaking that word, guess what? Now it's you in Christ. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, but as we start doing what the word says, we have, now it's you in Christ, okay? Now, from the perspective of God's word, God has a purpose for his word. He has a purpose to whom he says something, why he says it, when he says it, how he says it, and where he says it. We need to know that. Once we have been taught the word, what do we do with that word, okay? Like, I'm here teaching the word now. You're hearing it, right? You see it with your eyes. But what do we do with it? Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is awesome because every verse talks about the word. We're not going to read and go through every single verse. We won't have the time. We'd have to get cots here and stay overnight, you know, and eat all Susan's wonderful food. Okay, we're going to Psalm 119 and verse 11. This is what God tells us to do with the word that we're taught. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Okay. Is God saying, well, just, you know, put it in a closet and don't ever come out and don't ever speak it? No. All right. Actually, the word hid is a Hebrew word. And I can't pronounce it, so I'm going to spell it. It's T-S-A-P-H-A-N. And it means, it's interpreted as to hide, treasure, or store up. We love God because he first loved us, right? We treasure that word in our heart. We love God. We love his son. We love his word. Okay. Another usage of this word is found in 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." That word keep is the same word hid as in Psalm 119 that we just read. Okay. Verse Okay. So we have to know the word. We hide it in our hearts. And guess what? We have to believe it. Okay. How do we believe it? Let's go to... Sorry. Romans 10, 17. I apologize, you know, I'm just... There was a lot on this subject, you know, when I was studying the word. And it's just a lot, and we're just going to learn a little bit about it. So, okay, we're going to Romans 10. And verse 17, okay? So then faith, which is believing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? That's how we believe. We hear it to the point of believing it. When we first hear the word, do we necessarily believe it? I don't know. Right? It could go in one ear and out the other. You could be distracted or something. But God said that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Now, is believing God's word enough? I mean, do we say we believe it, or do we act on it? Because believing is a verb. A verb connotes action, right? Let's go to James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Why? Deceiving your own selves. God wants us to be doers of his word. He wants us to take action on this word. God's word says also in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith or believing, it is impossible to please God. And we want to please God, right? Also in James 2:26, and we don't have to go there, faith, which is believing without works, is dead. Now, it doesn't mean we die if we don't believe God's word. What it is that it's inactive, it's inoperable. So you know the word, you store it in your heart, you believe it, you act on it. You got to act on it. Okay. All right. Now, to know the word to the point of believing it and acting on it is a principle from God's word known as receive, retain, and release. We receive the word with meekness, as it says in James 1:21. We retain it with conviction, and we release it with boldness. Boldness. It's my jaw. Okay. Boldness. Not baldness. Boldness. Boldness. And it had nothing to do with John.
Oh my God. I mean, the other one.
Boldness. Boldness is fearlessness and confidence. Okay. Now, when we speak the word, when we're releasing the word, when we speak it with boldness and confidence, whether we speak it to each other or to our neighbor or to our family, we are releasing the word as we speak it. Okay? Otherwise, you got all this word, you know, in your mind and in your heart. What are you going to do with it? You're going to forget it. You're going to forget it. God says in his word, forget not all my benefits, right? if we weren't going to forget, why would he say forget, you know? Okay. We're going to go to a record in Acts chapter 2. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see about a man named Peter, who was one of the 12 apostles. And in chapter 2, this is when the day of Pentecost was fully come, right? And you got to know that days before this, Peter was behind closed doors in fear of the Jews, okay? Now, something changed this man, okay? So let's go to chapter 2 of Acts, and let's see what happens, because in verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, that's with the other 11 apostles, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Peter stands up and starts speaking the word, okay? Days before, he's behind closed doors. What happened? What changed this man? Well, in verse 1, this is when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. These were the 12 apostles were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they, the 12 apostles, were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received God's gift of Holy Spirit that day. It is the first day that anyone received God's gift of Holy Spirit. And they manifested power from on high because they were speaking in tongues, right? And we speak in tongues. And we know every time we do it, we're God's kids. Okay. So, let's continue. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, this was what was noised abroad was the outpouring of Holy Spirit. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were flabbergasted, because they heard that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I mean, I got a mind picture of this. It's like amazing. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And there are people from all walks of life and from all backgrounds. They had all different languages, but yet they heard them speak in their language, okay? And this is the miracle that occurred on that day of Pentecost. And go to verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, their language, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another. How could they be in doubt? They see something like this. What meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. Oh, they must be drunk, right? But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. He starts speaking the word. He starts telling them about Jesus Christ. He starts talking about David. Okay? And uh, Okay. And in verse, sorry. I told you I'm excited. All right. So, okay. So, he starts talking the word. They all hear it. There's all these people at the temple. They all hear this, you know, Peter speaking the word. And in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, this is amazing, okay? What an amazing man of God Peter was. He speaks the word and gets 3,000 people born again, right? And then he continues to speak the word. Talk about boldness. I mean, this is like amazing. And we got, look at the Apostle Paul. God reveals the great mystery to him that was hidden God, right? Nobody knew it, not even the angels. But he reveals to Paul this great mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and partakers of the one body of Jesus Christ. These are amazing men of God. We have that same gift of Holy Spirit in us, right? Nobody has more than the other. We got the same amount Peter got, okay? We got the same amount Paul got, right? And guys, it's a privilege to speak the word. As God's kids, we are children of light. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We hold forth the word of light. We're light bearers, right? And let's go to Philippians 4:13. I love this verse. What's it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. As we walk out on God's word, do what the word says, okay? We are strengthened as we act, okay? It's not before you act, it's you're strengthened as you act. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And finally, in 3 John, in chapter 1 and in verse 4, this is what God thinks of us, guys. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's our God. And he loves us so much. And that's what I wanted to share today. And I am so grateful and thankful. We have a great big God, man. If God says do something, do it. Go speak. He says go speak. Well, you go speak. Because there are results, too. I didn't even get to that. I didn't even get to the results, but there are results. And we can learn that from God's word.
Right,
yes. Yeah, I'm living proof. that we can do what the word says we can do.